Welcome. I'd like to welcome everybody tonight to Crestview Baptist Church for our final night of our community revival. Right? Final night. I'm just going to give you one piece of information, and then I'm going to turn it over for some music, and we can get started. I want you to know the bathrooms, if you go out those doors, the bathrooms are on your left. If you go out those doors and follow, the bathrooms are on your right. So there's bathrooms either way. So either way you go, there's bathrooms. Just welcome again to our church. We're glad to have you here. I look forward to worshiping with all of you.
Good evening. I'm going to tell you the same thing I tell my people. I've been to ball games with a bunch of you. And I know that you yell louder at the refs than you do that. So let's try that again. Good evening.
Good evening.
That's much better. They do the same thing when I say that too. They get louder every time. So it is good to see everybody here tonight on our final night of our renewal services, talking about surrender. So nothing's going to change tonight. The topic is the same as it's been the previous four nights. We're talking about surrender. And we're going to be looking at God's word, at what he has to say about surrender. But before we start that, before we do anything else, we need to go to the Lord in prayer as we begin our time together. So please join me in prayer. Our blessed Heavenly Father, we come humbly before your throne. Dear Lord, we are gathered together, five different churches. But dear Lord, we have one Savior, one Spirit, one baptism. And we that claim Jesus Christ as our Savior, that have been washed in the blood, we have been adopted as joint heirs with Jesus. And we gather together tonight to worship you, to hear from you. Dear Lord, may your Spirit move among your people tonight. May he open our ears and open our hearts. Dear Lord, also, we know that in a group this size, there's someone here that does not know you as their personal Savior. This person could have been in church their whole life, could have been baptized when they were a child. But, dear Lord, they still have not surrendered 100% to you and do not know you as their personal Savior. This person could be hearing the gospel for the very first time. Dear Lord, wherever they are at, we know that you will meet us there. And, dear Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will convict, that will guide and draw us to you. As we sing your praises tonight, as we hear your word tonight, and ask you to bless all of us, and we give you all the honor and glory because you alone are worthy. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our living Savior, we pray. Amen.
And with a group this size, if we all took the time to give our testimony and tell the great things that God has done for us, we'd still be here next week, still praising our Lord and Savior. So instead of taking the time for everyone to speak, let's just stand and sing, "To God Be the Glory." Hymn number 4, we'll have the words up on the screen, and we'll sing all 3 verses. And don't sit after this song. We're going to go straight into page 138 at Calvary.
In his life an atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Hold on to the Father through
138, and let's sing all four verses at Calvary.
Years are spent in vanity and pride, caring not if God was crucified, knowing that it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the bow I spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I give to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. On a measure salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did expand at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Amen. Thank you.
I would like to invite any kids to come forward. If we have any here, you come on down. No? If not, that's fine. You can come on down. Here, come on. We'll have a seat right here. All right. So, I want to talk to you about a couple things I like. Here, you can have a seat. Well, so we got one. What's your name?
Mia.
Hey, Mia. I'm glad to have you up here tonight. So this is not just for the kids. This is for the kids at heart, too. So we've been talking about surrendering all week. And I want to talk about a couple things that I enjoy. A couple things that get me riled up. There's a couple. One of those things that get me riled up is Jesus. Gets me fired up. And another one of those things that gets me riled up is wrestling. You ever watch wrestling? Anybody in here ever watch wrestling? It's a shame. It's a shame. Well, wrestling gets me riled up, too. And the reason he's like, why am I talking about wrestling? Well, sometimes in wrestling, the one wrestler will grab another by the arm. He'll grab him around the head, and he'll put him in a submission hold. Have you ever heard of submission hold? It's like they put the arm behind the neck, and they'll tell him to give up. They tell him to give up. Make sense? No, doesn't make sense? Oh, man, you're killing me. Killing me. It's a tough crowd. Here, look here. Here, he's going to put me in a submission hold. You ready? Okay. I give up. All right. So there, it's I give up. Does that make sense now? All right. So listen, what's he got to do? Put me in the figure four for you to get it? Come on now. It's all right. So have you ever got, or has anybody, any other kids, have you ever got and maybe wrestled around with your dad, jumped on his back, things like that? My kids would do that. If I get on my knees to do something on the floor, one of my kids thinks it's their job to come jump on my back and try to make me give up. Well, the reason I'm talking about this is we do the same thing with our Father in heaven. We wrestle with Him. Did you know that? You ever wrestled with God? So you think you could win that match? That'd be a tough match to win. So sometimes, since we've been talking about surrendering, we decide we want to do our own thing in life. We decide life wants to be what we want it to be. We want to do what career we want to be. We want to go where we want to go and do what we want to do. And we fight God, and He puts us in this submission hold. And finally, if we're smart, we'll give up and let God have control and let Him do what He wants to do in our life. God's got a plan for us. Did you know God had a plan for you? He does. Listen to this Bible verse right here. This is Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." God has a plan for you. He knows what He wants you to do, but you have to be willing to give in to God and give Him the power in your life to do that. So as we talk about surrender tonight with Preacher Artie, and as we're up here, I want to encourage you to always be listening to what God has to say and be ready to surrender to Him when He calls you to do something or when He has plans for your life. Because it's real easy to want to do our own thing. I did it for a long time. And when you surrender to God, it makes things a whole lot easier. Let's bow our heads, and I'm going to let you go back to your seat, okay? God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Thank you for this week we've had, Lord. And I pray that as we finish this week out, that this is not the end of it. That we're ready to go into our lives and we're ready to surrender those things over to you that we've been holding back. Those things that we aren't giving to you. Lord, be with us and listen to it and help us listen to you speak as we hear your word tonight. All this I ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
The Lord has promised good to me.
His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever.
Pardon me for just a second. I move around a lot, and I don't want to fall on anything. Like I said earlier, it is good that everybody is here and it's good to be in the house of the Lord. If you can see the title of the message, Finally Surrendered, we're going to be going back to the Old Testament. And we're going to look at a Baptist before Baptist even existed. And what I mean by that is we're going to look at somebody that's stubborn, somebody that God had to show time and time again, and finally had to knock him over his head to get his attention. We're going to see the incredible mercy of God. We're going to see what it takes to finally get us to a point that we're finally ready to surrender everything to Him. And it's not an easy spot. See, we're not talking about progressive Christianity. We're talking about that old-time religion. We're not talking about new theology. We're talking about that old-time faith. We're not talking whatever I feel like doing as long as I believe it with my whole heart is right. We're talking about obedience to the one and only holy God. That's what we're talking about. And church, we live in a society today that everything goes. That we're told that we don't understand what Scripture says because Scripture doesn't talk about homosexuality. It doesn't talk about transgenderism. It doesn't talk about all these other isms that are going on. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible talks about biology. Nowhere in the Scripture does it say a man and a man can create a child or a woman and a woman can create a child. What does it take? Simple biology. I've got animals at my house. The Greens have more animals than I got. They get lambs, they get piglets, they get everything out of their house. You know what it takes? A male and female to do that, to create offspring. It talks about that in the Bible. But what it's going to take for our society to change is for God's church, those that have been born through the blood of Jesus Christ, to finally get off their rear ends and surrender to Him. Not have the touchy-feely make you feel good stuff, but the rubber meets the road, Christian. You know, one of my favorite movies is Sergeant York. And if you've ever seen that movie, it's a black and white movie, so some of you probably never seen it, but it's an incredible movie about Alvin York, who won the Congressional, or was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor in World War I. Alvin York was a hellion. His mama was a good Christian woman. But Alvin York was a drunkard troublemaker, going around drinking and fighting and boozing and everything and causing trouble. And people didn't like having him around because he was so much trouble. But Jesus got a hold of him one night and changed his life. And the pastor, when he was talking to the pastor, he says, the book is again killing. That's against killing, those of you that don't speak hillbilly. And if the book's against it, I'm against it. And the preacher looked at him and said, Alvin, you got the living kind of religion, not the sitting in a pew type of religion. That's what our world needs right now more than anything, is for Christians to be committed and surrender and live like Christians based on the truth that is God's Word. So, If you will turn to Daniel chapter 4, we're going to look at verses, we're going to start off by looking at verses 36 and 37. And we have a tradition here at Crestview, I'm going to ask you guys to join in with us, that you stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. If you don't have your Bibles with you, it will be on the screen. And this is what Daniel writes here in verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 36 and 37. It says, "At that time, my reason returned to me, and my majesty and splendor were restored to me for the glory of my kingdom. And my counselors and my nobles began seeking me out. So I was reestablished in my sovereignty, and surpassing greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true, and his ways are just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride." Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Dear Lord, just thank you for what we see recorded here in Daniel. The example that we have here of what it takes to get us finally willing to be surrendered to you. Lord, bless the reading of your word and speak through me tonight. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our living Savior, we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, obviously, we are talking about Nebuchadnezzar. One thing is different about chapter 4 here in Daniel than the previous three books. This chapter is literally written as a testimony from Nebuchadnezzar himself. So we're going to look at a lot of different things going back into the two previous chapters, chapter 2 and chapter 3. But chapter 4 is where I want us to sit up a little bit. Nebuchadnezzar said in those verses, he said he's praising God. And he calls him the King of heaven. And that he exalts him and praises him. That was not always the case. You see, Nebuchadnezzar was a hothead. Nebuchadnezzar inherited his throne from his father. And Nebuchadnezzar had the reputation of being brutal, as we see in some of these stories. See, if somebody disagreed with him, he would have them tied to four different horses and send them out in different directions. He not only would kill their family, he would kill the person, he would kill the whole family. He was brutal, and it was no telling when he would react that way. One minute, he would be calm, and the next minute, he would just go off his rocker with anger. So let's look at this story of Nebuchadnezzar. The first thing that we have to notice is that God gives Nebuchadnezzar opportunities to surrender. He gives him opportunities just like he gives us. He gives him opportunities to surrender. The first opportunity is the vision of the statue that's made of the different metals. Look at chapter 2, verses 26 and 28. The king said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel answered before the king and said, "As for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners are able to declare to the king. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind while on your bed." Daniel was able to tell him, there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. There is a God in heaven that can tell you. You see, the story is this, is that Nebuchadnezzar, Some people say that he forgot his dream. He had the dream, could not remember what he dreamt, but he knew it bothered him. But there is another train of thought. That Nebuchadnezzar had inherited all these people from his father, these magicians, these sorcerers, and he didn't trust them. Because a lot of times what they would do is they would tell the king what he wanted to hear instead of being truthful with them. So he put a test up to them, and he was planning on getting rid of them. He said, "So I know that you're telling me the truth. I want you to tell me what I dreamed and then the interpretation." And they're like, "We can't do that." And so he said, "No, you got to do this or I'm going to wipe you out. Can't do this." So he sent out an order to kill all of the wise men in Babylon, which Daniel was one of. And Daniel, when they came to Daniel, he's like, "Why is the king put this order out to kill all of us?" And the captain of the guard that was sent out to kill all the wise men told Daniel, and Daniel said, "Well, can you give me a little bit of time?" And he says, "Okay." So he go gets his three buddies, and they start praying, and God reveals the dream to Daniel. And Daniel then goes back to the king and tells him, "There is a God in heaven that reveals these secrets." The first opportunity. The first opportunity is Daniel telling him about God. And then he reveals the secret. He reveals the dream to him and his interpretation. The second opportunity that we have recorded here in Daniel is in chapter 3. And it's one of the best stories in the Bible. The golden statue and the fiery furnace. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 and 18, or through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king. You remember, he set up this golden statue of himself and said, "When you hear the music, everybody bow down and worship." And everybody bowed down, except there were three Hebrew young men that were still standing. And Nebuchadnezzar got mad and told them to bring them forward. And the punishment was anybody that did not bow down and worship this statue would be thrown into the fiery furnace. So in verse 16 and 18, we have this discourse between Nebuchadnezzar and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he says, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. It is to be, if it is to be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Either way, we're going to stand firm with God, and we're not going to give in to you," is what they're telling him. You see, that vision that Daniel interpreted for him was the vision of this huge statue where the top was gold, then silver, then bronze, and then it was iron and clay. And then there was this mountain that rose up, and a rock was cut out of that mountain without hands, and it rolled and it hit that statue and disintegrated all of it until it says it smashed it in such pieces that the wind drove the dust away and there was nothing left of it. And then Daniel goes on and interprets and says, you, Nebuchadnezzar, and the kingdom of Babylon, you are the gold head. But that rock that grew and filled the whole earth, that is the kingdom of God. And that rock that rolled and smashed all the other kingdoms of the earth, that is Jesus Christ. Nebuchadnezzar was told that his kingdom, though great, was temporary. But there was coming one after that was greater than all of them put together. And what did Nebuchadnezzar take from that dream? He took the fact that he was the gold head and he created a gold statue of himself. Squandered that opportunity. And now he's got another opportunity because he's got these three Hebrew men, young men, telling them, we're not going to bow a knee to you. We're not going to serve your gods. We're not going to serve you. We are standing firm on the God that we serve because our God, the God, is able to deliver us. And even if he does not, we're still not going to serve you. We're still not going to worship you. And then the second point is this, is that God uses others to point Nebuchadnezzar toward surrender. God used Daniel to prove that God was the true God. Back to chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and the kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will in itself endure forever. Inasmuch as you saw that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it crushed the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to you, the king, what will take place in the future. So the dream is true and its interpretation is trustworthy. Daniel tells him, this vision is from the great God. Not a God. The great God. Daniel was not shy in telling the king the truth. Daniel was totally surrendered to God. Church, we do not need to be ashamed to share the truth because we serve that same great God. And then God used Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah to prove God's power and ability to protect his faithful servants. Look at Daniel chapter 3, verses 24 through 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded and stood up in haste. He said to his high officials, was it not three men we cast bound into the midst of the fire? They replied to the king, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the gods. I love what it says in the King James Version. The Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of the blazing fire. He responded and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. The rest of that chapter talks about how the officials all gathered around Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it said their hair was not even singed. The ropes had burned away. They were gone. The ropes that bound them, they were gone. But their skin was not singed. Their hair was not singed. Their clothes were not scorched. And they didn't even smell like smoke. I can't even cook a hamburger outside without smelling like smoke. Three men went in. Four men walked around inside that fire, and then three men came out. We all know who that fourth man was. That fourth man was Jesus Christ. And he was standing beside them, walking just like he stood beside the throne of God and welcomed Stephen home when Stephen surrendered to him, and to the point of death. Scripture says that Stephen looked up and said, "I see Jesus standing by the throne, the right hand of the throne of the Father, waiting to receive him." Nebuchadnezzar saw this with his own eyes. And still, that goes on. Chapter 2 goes on, and he calls God the God of Daniel. Here he calls him the Most High God, but then at the end of the chapter he says, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Still not accepting what he has seen with his own eyes, what he has experienced, still has not surrendered. And my third point is this, is that God will get Nebuchadnezzar's attention. God warned Nebuchadnezzar of the cost of not surrendering his heart to him. He has another dream. This one, he tells Daniel what the dream is. And as soon as Daniel hears it, look at Daniel's response in verse 19 of chapter 4. Then Daniel, whose name is Belshazzar, was appalled for a while, and his thoughts alarmed him. The king responded and said, "Belshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation alarm you." Belshazzar replied, "My lord, if only the dream applied to those who hate you and its interpretation to your adversaries." Here's a couple of things that I want to point out in this verse. One is, by this time, Daniel had got to know King Nebuchadnezzar. He had been spending time with him. Church, you can't win somebody to Christ without doing the same thing. You've got to spend time with them. You've got to earn their trust. You have to get to know them. And apparently, by this time, Daniel had grown to love Nebuchadnezzar. You guys get what I just said? By spending that time with him, he had grown to love Nebuchadnezzar. We cannot share Christ without love. We cannot share the gospel without love. You guys know the magicians, Penn and Teller? Big guy and a little bitty guy that doesn't say anything. Penn is an atheist. He's a professed atheist. He said this, "I don't believe what Christians believe. But how much must they hate someone not to share with them what they believe?" How much must we hate someone to not share with them the life-changing knowledge of Jesus Christ? Daniel loved Nebuchadnezzar. And we will see that here in a little bit. But this dream that he has, Daniel, as soon as he hears it, he knows what it is. And it bothers him. And he doesn't want to share it with Nebuchadnezzar. But then Daniel urges him to surrender. He urges him to surrender to God. Look at verse 27. It says, "Therefore, O king, may my advice be pleasing to you. Break away now from your sins by doing righteousness, and from your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, in case there may be prolonging of your prosperity." We heard, "Amazing grace, my chains are gone." That's what Daniel was telling him to do. Break away. You're being held captive by your sin, by your pride, by your arrogance. You're being held captive by that. Break away from that and do what is right. Turn to God. Surrender to Him. So that you may just get a little bit of reprieve. He's begging him. Nebuchadnezzar doesn't listen. See, Nebuchadnezzar, finally, God gets his attention. You see, 12 months after this interaction with Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar walking around thinking how big and how great Babylon is. And he's walking around the walls and he's looking at everything. And he starts bragging about himself. And as soon as he starts bragging about how great everything is and how big Babylon is and how strong it is and what a mighty king he is, as soon as those words left his lips, the Bible says that a voice from heaven came and said the exact same thing that he was told in the dream. Now look at verse 33. It says, "Immediately the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled, and he was driven away from mankind and began eating grass like cattle. And his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws." God got Nebuchadnezzar's attention. And for 7 years, he lived out in the pastures, in the grass, eating grass like a cow, scratching around in the dirt, being soaked by the dew and the rain, having no contact with humans, because he had been turned to a wild beast. He lost his mind for 7 years. You remember the dream? The dream was that the large tree that grew up would be cut down and an iron band would be put around it. Even when God was getting his attention, God was still protecting him. You know, in ancient historical records, there are records of Nebuchadnezzar, but there is a 7-year gap that his name is not mentioned one time. Why? Bible tells us why. For 7 years, he wasn't there. But go back to these original verses. Verses 36 and 37. "At that time, my reason returned to me, and my majesty and splendor were restored to me for the glory of my kingdom. And my counselors and my nobles began seeking me out, so that I was reestablished in my sovereignty. And surpassing greatness was added to me." Now 37. You see, we've heard about King Herod, who had been told, who had been warned, who knew the truth and refused to accept it, refused to bend his knee, refused to surrender to Almighty God. And we know what happened to him. He was eaten from the inside out by worms. We heard Mary. Who said, "Behold your slave." That word, bondservant, that's what it means. It's slave. Paul says the same thing. I am bound to Christ. He has purchased me. I am his slave. We heard about that God wants our heart. We heard last night about Naaman. And I've always imagined Naaman. Dipping down into the water of the Jordan River. The first time he comes up, nothing yet. Second time, nothing. Six times he ducks down in that water. Nothing. Not a thing. Still had leprosy. He could have quit right then. He could have been like Herod and said, "I don't care. I'm not doing it again." But he didn't. He went down that seventh time. And on the seventh time, he came out of the water, and the Bible says that his skin was as smooth as a baby's. Because he was obedient. He surrendered and did what he was asked to do. But he said last night, you know, his faith was a lot stronger at the end of that than it was when it started. Well, here in verse 37, Nebuchadnezzar doesn't say the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or the God of Daniel. He doesn't call him that. He finally surrenders everything that he has. And he calls him, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven." Nebuchadnezzar, the King of Kings. You guys realize that? He had other kings underneath him. And this word, the King of heaven, it is not a little case K. It is a big K. The King of heaven. For all his works are true and his ways just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. Nebuchadnezzar was proud. Like many of us. Nebuchadnezzar at times was too proud. Just like many of us. But God gave him opportunity after opportunity. He put people in his life to point him to the Almighty God. Nebuchadnezzar had a choice to make. At the end of those 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar had a choice to make. He could have chose, just like Herod, to say, I'm not doing it. I am King Nebuchadnezzar. Nobody can touch me. In fact, he tells Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before he throws them, he goes, "What God can protect you from me?" I can just imagine Jesus sitting there on a throne. And he hears Nebuchadnezzar says, "What God can protect you?" Jesus stands up and says, "Watch this." And he went walking in that fiery furnace. I heard a sermon one time. The preacher said, "You know why only three men came out of that fire? Because Jesus is still there waiting to go through it with us." I'm going to add something to that. Part of the problem is that a lot of us, including your pastors, haven't fully surrendered to the point where we're willing to go through that fire for Him. But if we get to the point where we're ready to surrender everything, to the point where we say, my God is able to save me, but even if He doesn't, even if He doesn't, I'm still surrendered to Him. You know, you've heard this. I'm sure some of you have heard of Polycarp. Polycarp was a church leader, one of the seven churches in Revelation, in fact. He was a church leader. And he was an old man. And his church, there was a death warrant issued for him. And his church begged him to go into hiding. So he went out of town, was hiding out at a farm. Well, they found out and they sent soldiers to arrest him. It said the soldiers were embarrassed when they got there and realized they were sent there. This group of soldiers went in thinking, because they'd heard stories of Polycarp and how great a man he was and how powerful he was in the spirit. And they get there and there's this old, little old man. He just walks out and says, I'm ready to go. They put him on the back of a mule or a donkey and led him to town. And the entire time, Polycarp is witnessing, sharing the gospel with them, to the point where the head soldier gets mad, makes him walk the rest of the way. He gets there. They tie the animals, because they were killing all these Christians, by throwing them to the lions and everything else. They'd put all the animals away. They bring Polycarp in. They convict him. They ask him if he wants to recant. And this is his words. He says, I've never turned my back on my Savior. And I don't see why I need to start doing it now. And they tied him to the stake. And they burnt him. And while they were burning him, one of the soldiers that was there watching was so convicted by his testimony that he went over to him, gave his life to Jesus Christ, and walked up on the fire with him. That is what happens when we totally surrender to Jesus Christ. Our lives impact people. Our lives change people, not because of what we do, but because of what Jesus Christ does in us. That's what this week has been all about, is getting His church, not five different churches, but His church, to surrender to Him. To stop playing church and become the church. Church, we all have a choice. Every single one of us have a choice. We live in the age now that the Bible talks about, Paul talks about, that there's going to come a time where they just want their ears tickled. That's where we are right now. And I'm going to tell you something. I am so happy that we've got pastors who are still willing to stand up and preach the word and preach the truth regardless of what people may think. That they preach what God says. You know, I've gone back to school working on my master's degree. And one of my professors said this. He said, the word of God is truth. And truth is not shaped by human emotions. Truth is truth because it comes from God. Period. Doesn't matter what we think. Doesn't matter if we believe it or not. God said it, and that settles it. Church, we've been called to surrender. We've been called to put ourselves aside and give everything to Him. I believe it was Buddy last night said, surrender. You know, there's no halfway surrender. You can't say, I give up, and not and still not give fighting with this hand. Surrender means total obedience. Total immediate obedience. Anything short of total obedience. Immediate obedience. It's not obedience. Delayed obedience is immediate disobedience. That's what God expects from us. He gave everything for us. What right do we have to withhold anything from Him? Anything at all? Church, are we ready to finally surrender to our Savior, to our God? Are we finally going to give up and let Him take control? Church, this is something we all struggle with. It's part of human nature to want to take control of things. God knew that. God knows more about you and me than anybody else. David says, before I was born, you knew me. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You know me more intimately than anyone else. And even though He knows us that well, He knows, Artie Hubbard, that I am a hard-headed, stubborn, want to try it every way but His until He knocks me upside the head person. And He still cared enough about me that He died for me. He still cared enough about me, knowing everything about me, that He loved me and that He called me and He put me in a pulpit to preach His word when I do not deserve it. Aren't you glad He doesn't give us what we deserve? That is why we need to surrender. Because He doesn't give us what we deserve. This is your opportunity. Our last night together. Are you finally willing to surrender? Lay everything down at His feet and give up and let Him take control. As we sing this song, the altars are open if you want to stay where you are and pray. Whatever God is telling you to do, take that first step of obedience.
Would you stand as we sing hymn number 275, I Surrender All?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender
Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine.
I surrender,
Lord.
I surrender all
to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings flow on me. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Thank you all for being here. We've had a great week. Five great nights of coming together with God's people to hear his word. Buddy and Derek and Tom did an incredible job bringing God's word this week. And we are glad that you're here with us tonight. Just remember, live your life surrendered to him. Please answer Jesus' call to surrender. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being here all week. And I'm going to pray and dismiss us. Blessed Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, for loving us so much and giving us time and time again, opportunity after opportunity, to surrender to you. Thank you for not giving up on us, dear Lord. But we know that there is a time that you do withdraw that hand, that call from us, and that you will leave us. Dear Lord, I pray that there's no one here that waits until it's too late, that we will surrender to you and be used by you. Dear Lord, thank you for everything that you've done for us. Keep us safe as we go to our homes and be with each one of these churches that are represented here tonight, that you bless them, that you keep them standing on the truth of the gospel. And we ask all of this in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.